Hello and welcome to Three from the Seven, Relics' weekly news podcast chronicling one, two, three of the biggest news stories from the past week or so, about 7 days, I'd say. My name is Rafaela Kenny-Sincotta. I am the associate editor at the one and only Relics magazine, and I am joined by the bassist extraordinaire. She's outside the commune. She's back in New York City ever so briefly. Oh. Karina Reichman.
Yay! Thanks, Raf. What the hell's going on? Talk to me. Tell me you want some original roots reggae.
Some reggae like, music.
Give me reggae music. Oh, my God. Yes, I'm in Williamsburg for the day at my boyfriend's apartment. We're, you know, here to tie up a couple loose ends, pick up some stuff, do a little this and a little that, and then we're going to go see my parents on the Upper West Side in a few, so it's all very exciting, and, you know, I've been in the city exactly twice since March 13th. This is the second time, and it's so good to see, you know, the city that was the, you know, global epicenter for the pandemic. It really, like, it's the lowest transmission point in the country for the disease. Things are vibrant. I'm looking at people, you know, masked up, but really going about their days, and spirits seem a lot different than they did a month ago even. So it's very cool to be back in my native New York City. Feels
well,
good.
You know, Karina, some folks like to get away. They take a holiday from the neighborhood. But you were taking a Greyhound on the Hudson River line because you're in a New York state of mind.
Yeah. You know it, Raph. You know it.
That's I'm sorry, well, my Long eloquent. Island transformation is totally complete. I only speak in Billy Joel quotes now.
That would be really great. I really hope you keep it up until forever. It's like, you know, Raph actually, she really changed during the pandemic. She only speaks in Billy Joel now, and it's kind of cool.
Rare disease, but I'm going with it. You know, we didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's
That's
been turning.
Just the vibe. It's just the vibe, dude.
Vienna waits for you. Only the good die young, you know?
Yep, that's right. And, you know, there's nothing else I can do because I'm doing it all for Lena. What? That's my favorite.
Karina, don't ask me why. Anyway, now that terrible bit is over that I'm sure only five people who listen to this podcast really appreciate and find funny. As we mentioned, sweet reggae music a little bit earlier, Karina, we're gonna segue right into that first story of the week. The one and only Toots of Toots and the Maytals has a brand new single. It's called Got to Be Tough. And it is Toots and the Maytals' first album in 10 years. Karina, you as an aficionado of that sweet roots reggae music can appreciate what a big deal this is. Toots is like a fucking legend.
An absolute legend. This is spectacular news. I'm so happy for, you know, a glimmer of new music anywhere. And I wouldn't have seen this one coming. I'm not going to lie to you, Raph. This is very exciting. And I'm, of course, a huge fan and looking forward to any new output. And let alone first album in 10 years. Let's go. Seems like a great time. You know, a great a time as any, as they say. So this is going to be great.
Have you ever crossed paths with Toots at all? Because he's a character. He arrived at Relics early in my tenure, and I was told day of that I would be interviewing Toots live and in person on the internet, and it was a roller coaster ride because he is like, he's like crazy in a good way. You know what I mean?
Wow. That is so awesome. You must have been like, all right, I think I found the job for me. I've, you know, not in any real concrete way with Toots himself, but I got to play with Carl Harvey, the guitar player, on Jam Cruise this last year, and he was such a delight and an awesome player, and we got to, you know, hang a bit backstage, and I stood next to him on stage, and it was super, super fun, so that was an exciting thing for me as a definite, you know, longtime fan. Very exciting. Very, very exciting.
They say Toots invented the word reggae. You know, the Toots and the Maytals had a song called Do the Reggae, which is the first song to ever officially call that kind of ska rock steady vibe reggae music. You know, Toots was tight with Bob Marley down in Jamaica. Karina, we are entering what I would like to call the reggae season. It is warm outside. The sun is shining. I've been playing my reggae playlist, you know, enjoying it, beach vibes. Can you give the people at home, maybe point them in a direction of, you know, some good reggae they should be listening to in these warm weather
I thought
months.
I thought you'd never ask, Raph. Well, first of all, I do have a playlist. It's public. It's on Spotify. It's called Rub-A-Dub Sound, and then in parentheses, Give Me Some Reggae. So I highly recommend checking that out. It features quite a bit of the two, you know, some of the more obvious ones, Steel Pulse and Yellow Man are on there. We got Mikey Dread. But, you know, I'm really a fan of Sugar Minot. Sugar Me Not. He's fucking awesome. And there's this record by Clint Eastwood and General Saint that blows my mind. It's called Too Bad DJ, I believe. And the track on there that really screws me up in the best way is called Can't Take Another World War. Just listen to it, my people. Just listen. Everybody needs a little roots reggae in their lives. And it's phenomenal. We got Ika Mouse on there. We got King Tubby. We got Gregory Isaacs. We got Sister Nancy. We got Jacob Miller. Oh, it's all too much. There's a record by the Lovejoys, which is some deep shit that I highly recommend. And it's called Lovers Rock / Showcase. And it always brightens my day. And if you just want, like, you know, a good one to just put on and let fly, highly recommended. Sorry if I'm talking too much, but I'm almost done. There is a very lesser known record, I believe, by a band called Althea and Donna, two ladies, killing it, called Uptown Top Ranking, 1978. And that is so fucking good, it's gonna flip your lid. So put on Uptown Top Ranking, put on the Clint Eastwood and General Saint record, put on some Sugar Me Not, and just picture me smiling as I listen to the same things. Thank you. Thank you. I'll get off my soapbox now. That's my reggae interlude.
That was fantastic. Karina, the fact that you could do all that off the top of the dome, as they say, off the top of your head. I am going to link to Karina's reggae playlist on relics.com/podcast so everybody can enjoy that. I'm stoked on it, Karina. I'm going to give that a follow. I'm going to smash that follow button, as they say.
Oh, that would be huge. That would be huge. I mean, I just want to, I'm such a, you know, a fucking lunatic playlist creator that I just want to share so much music of so many varieties so much that it would mean the world if it makes one person happy, you know?
Hell yeah.
That would be great.
Awesome. I gotta step my game up.
Yo, step your game up. Share with me. In these times, I just love to share the music, man. And that's kind of, it's one of the few things we can do. We can definitely virtually share the music, so.
Yeah. Spotify numbers must be skyrocketing. I'm on Spotify all day, every single day. But moving on second story, Karina. This is kind of big news. This broke today. We're recording this on Tuesday, the 16th. Long Island's Nassau Coliseum, right in my backyard, is supposedly shutting down. A new report in Bloomberg says the current owner is shutting down the venue indefinitely while he seeks investors to take over operations and pick up the remaining. Guess how much in debt, Karina? You can see on the stock, but $100 million of debt that he currently has against Nassau Coliseum. Karina, initial reaction here. Nassau is a fantastic venue. You know, I have, as a Long Island kid, I saw the Eagles there when I was like 10. I saw Fish there this past summer. It is a historic room in the jam community between the Dead and Fish. But this is a bit perplexing. $100 million in debt on the building? Like, what?
That's very intense. It's not a small number, Raph. it's a real shame. Obviously, I've seen, you know, a good number of shows there too. I think back to, you know, me in freshman year of high school, you know, seeing Slayer, Megadeth, Anthrax, Rammstein, all of that. And then, of course, yeah, the most recent Fish show there. And of course, it was closed for a good amount of time there, and they put so much money into it. And, you know, not to talk shit, I'm not here to talk shit, it's terrible when a venue closes in general, in my opinion. It's heartbreaking. I wish they were not in $100 million worth of debt. But that Fish show in November, that was like, you know, my one and only time back to Nassau after it had been redone. And it left a lot to be desired in terms of, you know, points of purchase. There were super few and they were rammed and nobody was doing a great job in terms of, you know, making things go smoothly, making sure people could, you know, get what they wanted and then keep going. And the concourse was just a mess.
A disaster.
And an absolute, it was a lot. So, you know, I mean, you could say, oh, it's just Phish fans being Phish fans. But, like, you know, I'd seen all those other shows. Where was that? In Providence, wherever the hell was it? Yeah, that one, right before. And it was not like that, you know. And, of course, you know.
Yeah.
I've seen my fair share of Phish shows, and it doesn't necessarily have to... It was the venue. It was the setup. It was just, like, they were taking forever to get people in. Of course, it was raining, but whatever. Anyway, it wasn't a glimmering performance from a venue standpoint. That being said, this is very alarming news, and I don't like the precedent it sets. Precedence? It sets. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, the people know. Thank God that they have Karina Translator on their phones. Anyway, you know what I'm trying to say, because, you know, obviously we're so in danger of so many indie venues, you know, big and small, being shut down. But when something as enormous and with so much, you know, funding behind it, and, you know, a billionaire for an owner and whatnot, you know, of course, you know, the stakes are higher in a lot of ways, and, you know, you got to sell a shit ton of tickets in order to keep the lights on. So it's complicated, obviously, and it's made a little more drastic for those reasons. But anyway, it gives me, a person who A, loves events, B, makes, you know, something of a living playing events, very nervous for what's to come, because it's not a great look, and yeah. It's scary. So that's what I got.
I mean, just to piggyback briefly on what Karina said, I mean, like, my last interaction at Nassau Coliseum was that Phish show, and I think anybody who was there could tell that. I mean, exactly. I'm not here to talk shit about anywhere, especially a Long Island institution, former home of the Islanders. But, like, when you have a 50-person long line for a $15 beer, and you're taking twice as much time because they would take tall boys of beer and then pour them into plastic cups, creating twice the waste, which, as, like, a generally eco-friendly fan base, bothered me. Like, I consider myself an environmentalist. I'm like, and I said, I was like, you're creating twice as much waste. I don't understand what the problem is here. And then the woman behind the counter was like, oh, this is the band requested this. The band wanted people to pour their beers into plastic cups. And I was like,
I remember that. And I was just like, no way.
Lady, there's absolutely no way that's true, because I see this band. I've seen this band 50 times. Like, I know for a fact this is the first time I've ever seen it. And I know that there are methods of moving people through a venue that are twice as efficient, because they do it at Madison Square Garden all the time. And it's just, it was problematic. And then it's also like, you're in the people business, and I just don't like going to shows where I can tell the staff hates me. And I felt like the people at Nassau Coliseum were not excited to have Phish. And I will say, musically, that Phish show was great. They played Roses Are Free as an encore, I believe, for the first time ever at that show. There was a lot to enjoy there. The weather was not great outside, but certainly was fun inside. But Nassau Coliseum, you gotta do better. And yeah, with a billionaire of an owner who has $100 million in debt, like, maybe that guy's not that good at business anyway? I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot to unpack there, obviously. And
lots to unpack.
You know, it's a shame. It's a shame is what it is in a lot of ways. And, you know, again, I hope it doesn't, it's not super foreboding for a really rough future ahead of us in terms of music venues, you know? So yeah.
And
that's
I felt like the last thing I'll say is, I thought Nassau Coliseum was kind of getting back on track. They were getting jam bands back there. You know, Dead & Company had played there recently, and they gave the Grateful Dead / Dead & Company a banner in the rafters, which was really exciting for people. They had Phish back there, you know, for the first time in a while. You know, there's a lot of history there with Phish's Island tour. You know, Jerry slayed that place so many times with the Dead. I just hope, especially a Long Island institution like that, can really get their act together. Because, yeah, I mean, no one's cheering for it more than I am. So, Nassau Coliseum, if you want to call me up and ask me about policies in a venue, I have tons of experience. I know what's good and what's bad. And if you're charging $15 for a beer, $100 million in debt is a little confusing to me. But I will.
That's
leave
just
it at
one
that.
One Long Islander's opinion. Islander's opinion.
If you're on Long Island and you want an opinion, if you don't want an opinion, you're gonna get one. If you do want an opinion, you're definitely gonna get one.
There you go. But, that's it.
that, I guess we'll put a bow on that, Karina. And then moving on to our third story of the week. This is very good news for everybody who's listening. If you're listening on Wednesday or Thursday, Lock-In has announced a three-day Light from Lock-In live stream. This upcoming weekend would have been the official Lock-In weekend. We're actually in an interesting time right now, Karina. Right now we're recording this on Tuesday. Last week was supposed to be Bonnaroo, last weekend. This upcoming weekend was supposed to be Lock-In. So the live music scene was really supposed to be in quite a hot spot currently.
Ay, ay, ay.
Ay, caramba.
That's really intense. Yeah, that is some ay, caramba shit right there. I mean, yeah, it's starting to sink in. I mean, it's been sinking in, but that's, you know, when you put it in those terms, it's pretty intense. And, of course, it's only going to get more intense. And I've done my best to, like, not look at, you know, my prior calendar, if you know what I'm saying, of my old life and my old plans to play a million shows this summer. But, yeah, that's pretty tough. Well, this is good, though, because Lock-In announces free 3-day Live from Lock-In live stream. And you know what, Raph? I'm there. You know why? I've never been to Lock-In. It's a subtle fact about me, which is really dark. And, you know, it's a real shame because I feel so close to the organization. I feel so close to Mr. Peter Shapiro. I feel so close to you and all of the office mates who put this thing on. And, you know, I've never been invited to play. So, Kirk Peterson, the guy who books it, if you're listening, what's up with that, dude? No Marco, no me, no nothing. All right. That's totally cool.
This is what the kids would call a subtweet.
This is what we call a subtweet, Kirk. No, we've been totally. I mean, I feel like I've said it to his face a number of times, and I've just been like, dude,
I've been there.
Right? I totally have. And I've said it to Shappy, and he's like, yeah, what is with that? And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm not going to go until I'm booked, but now I'm feeling like I'll attend this live stream. It sounds fun.
The live stream from this Friday, the 19th, to Sunday, the 21st. There's going to be live music, archival footage, exclusive content, surprise appearances, so much more. Karina, I'm not sure if they'll take it, but I did send in a little clip of myself shouting out Relics and our podcast and the Lock-In Times, which I write for, the official newspaper of the festival. So you might even see me on the Lock-In live stream. So
that's reason enough to watch for me. And it should be for any of our listeners. If you're listening and you were thinking about not tuning into this, you probably should now. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
We got to see Raph all the time.
I'm in my backyard. I got my cooler, you know. It's fantastic. You can tune in at fans.com, FANS.com. And then Lock-In is still on the calendar, folks. They say October 2 through 4. The way things are going right now, I know I am no doctor. We've said it several times, Karina, but things are looking okay in New York. Other states, you know, a little shakier, but things are looking okay in New York. I'm not sure about Virginia numbers, but who knows? Maybe I'll see some of you folks down there on the farm October 2 through 4. But this upcoming weekend, what would have been the original Lock-In dates, the 19th, the 20th, and the 21st, free Lock-In live stream. You can get your wiggles out, dance in front of the TV, and all that fun stuff. And then, Karina, maybe we'll tune in together. We'll FaceTime while we watch.
Oh, that would be adorable. That would just be so cute. Let's do it. Let's go.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel touched. I feel touched.
And then the one last thing before we kind of wrap this up, Karina, we have a bit of an ad read from our friends at the Rock and Roll Playhouse. They are celebrating grateful dads across the country this year for Father's Day. They want you to tag at the Rock and Roll Playhouse. That's the Rock A-N-D Roll Playhouse. And post a video on Instagram of your little ones telling us why they're grateful for a father figure in their life. And a father figure can be anything, Karina. Father figure can be a brother, can be a cousin, can be a friend, can be a neighbor.
A stuffed animal bat.
Exactly.
Whatever you want. We're non-denominational over here. We don't care what you think your father is. That's all good. That's up to you. It's in the eye of the beholder. I will hold to that.
And then if you just like pause.
Sorry.
And if you submit a video, they are selecting people randomly to win cool prizes. A D'Angelico guitar, a signed Fare Thee Well book by Jay Blakesburg, custom tie-dye, all that cool stuff. So Father's Day is around the corner. So yeah, tag the Rock and Roll Playhouse. They do awesome videos for kids if your little one is, you know, feeling anxious around the house. Every day you tune into their Facebook and they're doing shows. Karina, you've done one as well for the little ones. You've done them in IRL and online.
It's true. I've done both, and actually I have one in the can, I believe, that should be being rolled out at some point that I filmed about a week ago, I want to say. I don't know. But yeah, I really enjoy the stuff. I believe in turning your kids on to good music while they're young. It didn't happen to me. I had to find it all out for myself, which also there's something to be said for that. But this is a great and beautiful organization. We love the Rock and Roll Playhouse, and we love all that they stand for and all that they do for the community. And we love Grateful Dads. Come on. Who doesn't love a Grateful Dad?
And you're going to see your dad later today, Karina. So you could be like, yo, Dad, I'm grateful.
Be like, yo, you're a Grateful Dad, John, philosopher.
And he's like, don't. He's like, I've asked you not to call me by my first name.
He's like, yeah. No, he's good with it. He loves it. No, I'm just kidding. That's true. Well, I'll be telling him to tune into the Grateful Dads. It's going to be great.
Awesome.
Oh, my God. So awesome. Well, wow,
Karina,
well, shit.
I think we're at the end of our road.
That's unbelievable, Raph. I don't know how we ever get here, but we seem to do it every week. And it's a beautiful thing. It's really these last 26 minutes and 52 seconds, which is what my phone tells me we've been chatting for, have been nothing short of magical. And I really can't wait until the next time you and I can do this in the flesh. You know what? If I drove out to Long Island and sat 6 feet away from you outside and had my little microphone, we just did this, we could do this.
Hell yeah,
right?
Dude. I'm so down.
Cool. Well, I'm super you know duper what? Down. It might be a pipe dream, but it's also totally not a pipe dream. And I'll see you next week. Just
oh my
kidding.
God,
but,
that would be super lit.
That would be pretty cool.
Karina,
right?
we would have the sand here too. The folks listening at home, well, here's a window into my insane life. I'm taking vacation next week. Karina and I are going to record on Monday. I'm getting a ton of sand. That's not an exaggeration. It is over 2,000 pounds of sand being delivered and dumped
ton.
In my driveway. A metric ton. I believe they call it a yard. Sand is measured in yards, which is like, it's like a little more than a ton of sand dumped in my driveway because it's 5 o'clock somewhere. And if I can't go anywhere nice, I had tickets for Fish in Atlantic City and I can't go. So I am literally building a beach in my backyard and taking off time from work to just drift away in Margaritaville, baby. So if Karina, if you come here on Monday, hypothetically, you would see the ton of sand, which would be pretty wild.
Well, this, you know, this actually sounds like, you know, no better time than now to do this. Maybe that will work out.
Yeah, you got your toes in the water, ass in the sand, as Mr. Zach Brown would say.
This is a delight. What a delight. Oh, my God. Well, I'll consider that an invite. And thank you again, Raph. Thank you for putting us all together so beautifully, as you always do.
Of course.
Are really just a gem.
Oh,
thank
Karina,
you.
Karina, come on.
Oh,
so you're,
oh.
Karina, you're my podcast wife, and I couldn't be happier.
Yo,
57 episodes in. I hope for 57 more. And more.
And, you know, I like you more every episode. Isn't that something?
What
even
a doll.
In these times.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, I like you more every episode.
Oh, my gosh. Everybody,
best wife ever.
If you love Karina and you love me and you love this insane banter of ours, subscribe to Relics Magazine, baby. Relics.com/subscribe. There's a great issue coming out. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to talk about it yet, but it's awesome. Believe me. Also, follow us on Instagram at 3from7. Email us at raffandkarina@gmail.com. Maybe we'll do some listener mail at some point coming up. 3from7 is brought to you by Relics Media Group. Our producer is the one and only Mr. William Schwerd. #Schwerd up. And Karina, as always, I'm going to leave it to you to just tell the people what's up, what's down, what's left, what's right. Everybody have a good week. Karina, take it away.
Oh, my people, you have a good reggae playlist to listen to. You know, hopefully you're staying put together in some way, shape, or form. Or maybe you're not. Maybe you're just like hanging in there by a thread. Either way, my fellow listeners, I send you all my love, all my vibes. Keep it surreal, and we'll see you next week. Thank you. Goodbye.